Good evening, everybody, or good morning, or good day, depending on where you're at in the world. I just want to welcome everybody to this Integral Living Room call, where we're going to be looking at the evolution of we, and we're also going to be kind of framing, if you will, what we consider to be one of the primary considerations of all of our development right now. And I just want to thank you again for taking time to be on the call and for participating in this community and for using your really precious life energy and awareness to tune into this conversation today. And I also want to thank my good friends Jeff Salzman and Terry Patton, and also Ben Levy and Brett Walker for being on the call, because it's through their love and support that we actually have the infrastructure to be able to talk to each other. So thank you again to you guys for your help and for your practice. Okay, everybody, so here we are. We're in this kind of remarkable container, one that is, you know, completely a product and a fruition of our time in human history, which is on the one hand remarkable and amazing that we can all talk to each other around the world, and on the other hand kind of a huge pain in the ass because we'd probably rather be sitting in a room together. So we have both the privilege and the challenge of the way in which we're connecting, but isn't it wonderful that we're doing that? So this is the Integral Living Room community call, and this is the third in the series. The last two calls that we've done together have been related to current events. We've talked about surveillance and the decrease of privacy. We've talked about the Boston bombing. And we've received a certain number of questions from people around, you know, what our spiritual intention is in relationship to these current events. And as we formulated the focus for this call, what we realized is we actually have an event coming up, as you know, in October, October 31st, over the first weekend of November, in which Ken Wilber is going to be joining us, and we're actually going to be looking at the next step of our evolution, which has to do with how we take everything we've realized in our individual practice and we bring it to the collective. We bring it into the we space. So it's the next step in our evolution. How is it that we actually start working together and engaging each other in a way that takes us into, let's call it at least a refreshed space of being together. So I'd like to invite everybody on the call for a moment to just consider for a few minutes, maybe just a minute of silence, and we'll just do this quietly, what your particular inspiration around working in a we space is. Like, where is your hope? Where is your disappointment? What are the places in your life where you feel like things may be changing and you may be starting to have a different kind of experience? And just touch into your own heart and to what it is that you want in the relational domain with the other human beings and all species for that matter, but what you really want to happen in the space of your most precious relational life. So we're going to take one moment just to reflect on that. Thank you, everybody. In some kind of interesting and paradoxical way, our ability to participate in the we space at new levels is really predicated on the relationship we make to ourselves. So our autonomy and our communion are always intertwined. So thanks for taking that moment of kind of self-reflection to really feel like, what's my cutting edge? What is it I want? What do I feel I'm capable of? What are the methods and the technologies that I can use in order to bring people in new ways of being together? This is a really, really important conversation. We're with other people so much that we often think that it's not as important as it is, but I think you probably have a experience in your life of groups where you feel like you're just touching into new dimensions of being and new ways of communicating and new expressions of loving. And there are probably other situations in your life where it's the status quo, it's business as usual, and there are probably a few places in your life where it's a little bit of a hell. And unless you kind of use your autonomy to decide yourself how you're going to relate differently, that whole situation is probably going to be, you know, immensely painful. So these are the questions that occupy us. That's going to be the focus of this call. We're going to try to both look at this as a current event and also see the spiritual intention behind it. And I'm going to invite Jeff Salzman and Terry to say hello and presence themselves on the call, and then we'll start to double-click into the content. So welcome, Jeff. Hi.
Hi, dear, and thank you, Diane. That was beautiful and inspiring, and I feel in this moment a connection to all of the people that are on this call. And that alone is sort of remarkable, and I'm just sort of enjoying it in real time because it's kind of new. And, you know, I don't exactly know how to work with it, and I am so grateful to have the opportunity to sort of cut these new grooves with my sister Diane and my brother Terry and all of you. And so, yes, hello, just from Jeff Salzman here in Boulder, Colorado. I'm happy to be here and would like to just invite my brother Terry to say hello as well. Hey, Terry.
Hey, thank you, Jeff, and thank you, Di. Yeah, well, this is a key conversation that we're having because I think we all sense that the times are calling for something new, and the new enlightenment is informed by that prophetic comment by Thich Nhat Hanh that the next Buddha may very well be a Sangha. It may very well need to be a Sangha. And we are already naturally in our own meditative practices, many of us, entering into a witnessing relationship to our own experience, a deep level of open awareness, open intelligence, where we're really resting in the beingness of awareness itself. And when we've done that in groups, we've certainly noticed how the field is profoundly enhanced, that there is some kind of noetic communion that so many of us have had a direct experience of. And there have been, gosh, a whole series of experiments. David Bohm's dialogue process, the kinds of experiments that have grown out of the original workshops at Esalen and in the human potential movement, the kinds of intersubjectivity that are worked with Big Mind, the fields of shared awareness are really a big thing we're noticing. We're noticing, in fact, that the goal of the ancient goal, the traditional goal, the spiritual path of individual awakening, maybe isn't the point as much as an awakened we. I've, for a long time, very intentionally kind of playing on the classic statement that you hear from Ramana Maharshi and Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj, I am that. And talked about we, plural, am, singular, something new. And it's that we am-ness that I think we're touching on. And we've been touching on that in a lot of different ways. There have been the experiments of the Enlightened Next community in an awakened intersubjectivity, other challenges that attended that work. Notwithstanding, there's something remarkable that took place there. There have been the experiments in enlightened communication, in entering into deep shared states that we see with Thomas Hubel's transparent communication, Decker Kunov's intersubjective meditation and circling, and really the we space of integral, all our integral gatherings right from the beginning. It was always a big piece of what we were doing. And we've entered into it in a lot of different ways. Some of them are content-based and conversational, and some of them really are about higher states. And we're really at a time now where we can draw on all of those traditions of experimentation, and some people have. Dustin DiPerna and a bunch of his colleagues have gotten together in these We Practice groups that draw on many of these different traditions. And what's going on right now is a rapid advance of the sort of the state of the art as we open into a kind of innocent alive beginner's mind attending to the now, to this place where the newness happens. It's right here, right now, that we're all together on this line, right here, right now, that whatever that might be new would arise. And in the meeting of I and thou, in the we arising, there's also the transcendent being that is present. And there is that source of creativity out of which that which has never existed can arrive and come into being. And the excitement of discovering this has really infected so many of us. And discovering that this is possible, that we can get better at it, that there are preconditions for doing it well, and that we can advance in it, and that the we itself becomes an entity of a kind that can itself learn and that has a kind of evolutionary impulse of its own, an agenda that transcends and includes all of us. All of that is so exciting. We can feel ourselves participating in the emergence of a new wave of consciousness that is not about me, but about we. And the excitement of that has informed everything that we've done, and it's something that I think we're discovering more and more in our relationships with our integral and evolutionary friends. Our most personal friendships open into something that's transcendent and transpersonal, wherein we're both, you know, if it's two people or all of us, if it's more, you know, connecting in service of this greater thing that's present in our meeting. And so it's with an eye toward presencing that and experimenting with it and even doing some experiencing of it that we've gathered now. And we had planned that I might set the frame. That's kind of the way I'm seeing the topic. Diane, do you want to expand on that? Or?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Whenever Terry addresses any topic, there's so many dimensions that I could kind of start to kind of make my way into. But let me just say this for a moment. We're happier when we get along with each other. We're happier when we actually have the confidence that we can understand each other. It may be that that thing that's outside of us is actually we ourselves, and we need to make sure that one of the great things the integral does is it lets us place it outside of ourselves, and it lets us place it in the we space, and it lets us place it in our own interior. But whatever that it is us. It's not separate, and yet it may be also separate from us. But the point is that it's deeply embedded in our hard drive to belong. Our survival depended on our belonging, and our relaxation and our openness in relationship to each other is one of the great pleasures of being human. And at the same time, the stresses we feel from the outside world are what keep us from being able to do that, and that we often have our own little coping strategies. And, you know, human beings have always found ways, deeper, better, different ways to be together. And so this is really an inquiry for those of us who are in the evolutionary spirituality path. You know, what are the next stages? What are the methodologies? What are the techniques that are going to support us in actually accessing the deep heart of who we are and helping us face the challenges that come up in the world? So I hope that that's concrete enough in terms of what it is we want to start to work with and accomplish. So how about you, Jeff?
Yeah, thanks, Di. And thanks, Terry. Yeah, what interests me about this is, if I look at history, I see that the ways that human beings have related to each other have changed as we've moved up these stages of development. You know, people at the Red Warrior stage, they act differently with each other. Certainly true of Amber, traditionalists and modernists. And you know, what is it to relate to each other in a postmodern way? What's the green mode of interpersonal relationships? Because you know, that's where most of us are. We're waist deep in that, at least. And then, you know, trying to come up with what's next. You know, how do we actually relate to each other in a way that is appropriate to the gifts that we have now, and the depth that we have, and the knowledge that we have, and the reach and communication and technology that we have? And, you know, when I think about that, I think of my years at Naropa University, and I love Naropa, and it's green as grass. There's a long story about Naropa, and a lot of it's very integral and very wonderful. But I was in an MDiv program there and was with a group of about 20 students, and we were together for 3 years, and we were very close in many ways. And we sat in many circles in those 3 years, and we never really broke through. We never really touched. And this was, you know, this is something that, you know, in some ways it hurts my heart to this day, because if I had it to do over again, I would have stepped up. I would have risked. I would have broken out of the constraints of the green, the mean green, postmodern political correctness and sort of aggressive relativism and the unwillingness to say anything that would be pass as truth. You know, and you
in
know, I don't
words,
really mean
you,
this.
You had been willing to have a fight, right?
Yeah, please, no, never, no fight. I mean, you could clam up, but you couldn't fight. And it was just, you know, I want to push against that. And I know that some of the best conversations I have are with you and Terry and some of our integral brothers and sisters. And Terry, I think of it, the conversation we had in my back patio of, I don't know, 6 or 7 weeks ago, where we were yelling at each other. You know, I was telling you I was sick of your liberal claptrap. You know,
it was one of the most loving exchanges we've ever had.
Exactly, it was. And, you know, I've done that with other people. And I actually think that part of what comes online as we move into a more integral world of conversation and relating is that we're willing to be rude, because we know that we have a bigger container. And we actually don't expect ourselves to always be skillful, because we can't be skillful if we're in new territory. You know, if we're doing something new, we have to be able to screw up. And if we have that bigger container that knows that the love is unconditional and just flowing and rich, then we can do that. And we can say things that are wrong, and we can take risks, and we can change our mind in real time. And we can, I always love what Keith Witt said, we can be willing to influence other people. Yes, that's nothing new in human history. But we can also be willing to be influenced. And wow, that's not so easy. But we get to do that in real time, not expecting the sort of painful, plodding rules of these previous stages, all of which are suffocating in certain ways once you get an integral sort of bug. So I don't know the answers. I mean, Terry, I do want to say that you have done some of the best work of anybody in this. And in fact, I wanted to point out that you wrote a paper called Enacting an Integral Revolution, which is about having truly radical conversations, and presented it at the Integral Theory Conference to high acclaim. And it really is a wonderful paper. It's on our Integral Living Room website. And also your conversation with Ken, which was just sparkling in its, you know, in his, you know, Ken Wilber, you know, theoretical penetration of the topic. So just delightful. Also
kind of
on the website. Yeah, exactly, really. Anyway, I think I'll just end there and turn it back over to you, Brother Terry, and I know you have some process to take us through.
Yeah.
Hey, Terry, I'm wondering if it might make sense before we move into that, because I think we've got plenty of time for the call. What, do you think it might be useful to talk about maybe kind of the inspiration and the challenges that we're experiencing in groups right now? Maybe hear from 3 or 4 people about where their cutting edge is, what they're really looking forward to, and where they're finding themselves get hung up?
Yeah, there are some orienting comments that I'd like to make first, but I'd love to do that. So let's invite
people.
If you want to share something about your experience with this and the questions that are alive or just sharing the experience of your own experiments in order to focus and advance the community consideration, please press 1 on your keypad to raise your hand, and we can bring you in. But while people are doing that, I want to say that some of the things that I've noticed are that what we're talking about here is a higher we. There's been, you know, people have gathered and engaged in dialogue since before the time of Socrates, and people have engaged in rich conversations that had a big impact famously many times throughout history. Certainly the academies of Athens and the schools of the Renaissance and the Enlightenment, the philosophes, the transcendentalists, the romantics. It's not as though this matter of entering into a living consideration where new ideas and new sensibilities found their way forward that ended up influencing culture pretty profoundly. You know, it's not as if that is unprecedented. But what might be unprecedented is a fully rational mind entering into these higher states and consciously opening to a shared intelligence that is arriving on the basis of people's capacity to enter into high states. That higher we seems to be a really new emergence, and that's pretty exciting. And we do see something else entering in. The experience of people who've had the richest of these experiences, the report is consistently that an awakening and an intelligence that is beyond their what they can access alone arrives. And the sense that we might be able to cooperatively open to something greater and be the agents for that to find its way into this world is one of the most exciting things in people's experience. It's why this is such a hot topic right now. I see that Lore has raised his hand, so I'd like to call on you and bring you in. What would you like to bring in? Hi.
Hi, I'm calling from Boston. Thank you so much for this topic. It's so relevant. I have been a spiritual practitioner for many, many years, done a lot of meditation, practiced with Andrew Cohen since 1990 in the evolutionary discussion groups and so forth. However, it hasn't been until recently that I practiced this form of, you might say, eye-gazing or we space practice with Jeff Carrera and Patricia Albert, that something new is really happening. I can't believe it. I mean, my experience was, it was almost like sitting session for a couple of days after just doing a couple sessions. I'm really curious. Maybe we've entered into some kind of new phase in the universe. Maybe we've been getting ready for this for a long time, but it hasn't happened. Even in the enlightened discussion groups with Enlightened Next in those earlier years. So I'm so excited that you're discussing this topic, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about it. Thank you.
Yeah, let me just pipe up, if I may, this is Jeff, to say that what Laura's talking about with Patricia Albert and Jeff Carrera is the Evolutionary Collective. And it's a wonderful, ongoing group of we space psychonauts who are really cutting new territory, and it's a wonderful, wonderful organization, so I recommend it. Evolutionary Collective.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jeff.
Can I ask a question, Terry, of your of the last caller?
Of Laura, sure.
Yeah, it would be helpful to me if you could give me some kind of concrete, either images or something for me to ground my senses in terms of when you say that through this eye gazing and this practice that something new is happening. What in your, how would you describe it in kind of concrete terms? What is it that looks, feels, tastes different?
Within a few minutes or after the session where you both look into each other's eyes, and say, this is what I'm experiencing now. And you do that for 5 minutes and just relate whatever you're experiencing. The color red, it's cold outside or warm outside, the, you know, feeling of my bones or whatever. And then you alternate to the next person, and then you just both describe what we are experiencing together, and you alternate with that. There is something that just takes me over, and it feels like my consciousness has gone to a higher level. I'm completely relaxed, and I've done this with other people, and a very similar situation has happened.
Okay, so relaxed, present, open.
Yeah, feeling of lightness
of being. Yeah, lightness of being. Just you sort of a basically awakened kind of qualities. Okay, great. That helps me a lot. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Laura. I see several other people have raised their hands. I'd like to call on Sam. Hi, Sam.
Hi. My voice is even worse on the computer. I wonder if we're talking sort of about a think tank exercise, you guys, with this Wii space. What I'm thinking is there's a byproduct of sort of seminar high that we all can sort of appreciate. But I think underneath it, what we really are focused on is a think tank exercise. And so it seems like what we're focused on is our goals as the product is to get to a higher mind that gives us less of a local understanding and more of a fresh perspective on our problem or on our whatever we're doing. And I'm not sure if you guys want to comment on that, but I'm having a little bit of difficulty understanding this Wii space phenomenon, exactly what our goals are. And I know there's some resistance to it.
Yeah, I'll be happy to respond to that. Thank you,
okay.
Sam. I think that we include in what we're interested in with the Integral Living Room, definitely think tank kinds of things are a part of it. But what Laura was describing and what people are experiencing in some particularly focused exercises that we're entering into is an actual altered, even higher state of consciousness in which deep meditation arises that is not just private, where the profound awakening of awareness, open intelligence that can be experienced in our high meditative states actually arises together. And out of that, there's a shared midwifing of a larger intelligence into the space. Now, that's not the only thing that is of interest, but it is perhaps one of the newest emergents that has come about here in this we practice, and it's kind of a new thing. So there's a lot of excitement about that. Let's see. We have quite a few hands up. Andy Acker. Hi, Andy.
Hey, Terry. Hey, you guys. I was really struck by something Jeff said when he was describing you guys' conversation on his porch. So I felt like I'd had conversations that had a similar tone. Something kind of resonated with me. Especially back in the early days, maybe 10 years ago, out in Boulder. But at the same time, from those early days, I feel like we were really kind of swimming in pretty deep water, not really sure what we were doing. And there's some hurtfulness that kind of happened. And for me personally, I'm bringing this up because it's still there for me personally, and there's still scarring from that time. And as Ken would say, it's like, you know, we're all going to come out of this with some scars. And if we're not making a bunch of mistakes, then we're not working hard enough, or we're not really going the right direction. So sometimes it feels like it's paper cuts and lemon juice kind of thing, you know? And which was, you know, that really softened the blow sometimes, but, you know, the humor aspect. But still, there's how to really engage that. And I like what you said, Jeff, that we're not always going to be skillful and that we can't be worried about that with some sort of PC shield, you know?
Yeah.
And really be able to have the bravery to dive in, that if there's this greater caring, even if we're fighting and hollering, I mean, like all of my pals and, you know, men and women are friends from that time, you know, we always had that greater love and care, and we were able to, like, you know, be embraced in that, even if we wouldn't talk to each other for a few days or weeks or whatever. But how would you guys, in your experience and just with your foresight, with where you're positioned in the community right now, what would you offer as leaders to really do that in a way where you're able to really tread that deep water, but not ostracize people or, you know, really cause that, the risks involved, you know, how to navigate those risks is what I'm really trying to get.
And Andy, let me ask you, this is Jeff, you know,
yeah, hey Jeff.
Would you share a little bit about, not necessarily names and dates and whatever, but this hurt is a big topic right now. And, you know, give us a little first-person testimony about what that is and what that felt like and what that still feels like.
Okay. Well, what I was doing, like, I felt like sometimes I would take risks to really organize, you know, activities or anything like that, or just go get on projects and just, you know, throw myself at them. And, you know, I was like a 24-year-old kid compared to where I'm at now. You know, I'm 35 years old and life has been different. But looking back, it's like there isn't like a year that goes by where I've spent a lot of time really examining what happened and how I stepped up to the plate, you know, mistakes that I made based out of immaturity or just being blind, but also the exchanges I had with people that could have been different, you know what I mean? There could have been a lot more love involved. Like, it would just get kind of cutthroat sometime, even if we were kind of wording it in a way where we're using spirit all the time or kind of emphasizing the absolute at the expense of the relative.
Wow, yeah.
Huge expense of the relative.
Sure.
That would happen a lot. Like, you know, people would hide out in that. Like, oh, it's all okay, ultimately, you know. And there's just massive damage happening while people are saying that, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you, Andy. That helps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and one thing that I'm hearing is, and I think it's one part of our evolution as well, is what the relationship of what we might call absolute consciousness or greater consciousness that we've been referring to on this call, and how that relates to the kind of part whole that we are, the egocentric self, the ethnocentric self, the world-centric self, like where those boundaries of self exist, and can we actually kind of develop a more integrated way of being where personal and impersonal are both on the line, and that we're awake to that. We're awake to the way in which the ego doesn't exist, and as you said, we actually can care for one another in some kind of real way. So I think that that's part of what we're trying to also delineate. And another thing that's coming up for me is that, you know, meditation and sitting in a deep meditative state with others has validity unto itself. But wouldn't it be nice if we could actually move that into a decision-making forum or into an action-oriented? Because the gap between meditation and how we are in the world is also a big one. So we have a gap between the absolute and the relative that we're trying to close, and we have a gap between our samadhi and the way we behave and interact with others in the world and how we do our decision-making and our goal-setting and all of that. So there's a lot of kind of linkages that need to start getting hooked up. So those are a couple things that come to my mind.
That's such an important point. You and I have talked along those lines about whether there might be both high states and then high stages of the we, and that maybe we do need to begin with states, like states of a certain kind of resonance that can build a certain kind of trust and a certain kind of care so that the field is essentially loving and safe, because the more profound levels of we consciousness really rest on that. People need to be able to trust in order to open at the levels that these more profound states require. But then having opened in that way to hold that high state and let it be as integral theory says it should be, you know, a turbocharger for a growth to higher structures. And the structures of the we, higher structures of the we, you know, have somewhat been traced by things like the Harvard Negotiation Project and your great work in mediation. But obviously that's an area that's evolving too, and that's one of the things we're going to be wanting to experiment with at the event in Boulder.
Well, you know, one of the things that I might also just encourage as a bit of a side note while we're, you know, starting to investigate this, we're going to take people, of course, into a small group we space where we can do some of the kind of practices that the earlier caller talked about. But, you know, we're all experiencing we spaces all the time, and we should pay attention to when we feel that we're thriving, when we feel we're opening, when we notice we're closing, what kinds of forms are we, you know, whether it's a cocktail party or a dinner party or sitting around the television, when do I notice my energy levels come up, and what are we doing that's causing that? I know for myself that I'm taking a kind of field trip to Burning Man next week. And my sole intention for going to Burning Man is really to look at the we space that's created there, because it's such an amazing event that out of kind of a basically a party on a beach, a sort of transformational event for 60,000 people gets erected for a week in the desert and then gets taken down. That's a we space from my point of view that's worth paying attention to. you know, and what's the we space at an NBA basketball game? You know, what's the we space when I go to my, you know, sort of New Age church? What's the we space when I'm doing a ceremony with a shaman? You know, what are these different we spaces and what's really going on? So we want to start really asking that question in a very broad way so that we can really explore it, the event together.
Di, I am so excited to think of you at Burning Man. And I want pictures. Not of
witnessing,
it, but of you.
Witnessing awareness only.
Yeah, there you
actually,
go.
Actually, one of their 10 ground rules is participation. There's no such thing as being simply a witness.
And just pause there. I mean, you have to be a participant. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really profound.
Yeah, there's no standing on the outside watching.
And it's integral.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Well, thanks so much, Andy. And thanks for presencing your own vulnerability, because it helps make this whole conversation less abstract and more concrete and real and personal and human. So that really adds to this whole thing. Thanks a lot.
Of course. Thanks for chiming in, everybody. I really appreciate it.
I think before too much more time goes on, let's jump into the small group exercise. So let's please press 5 on your keyset if you are in a noisy place, or if you just don't want to participate, or if you're listening with a friend or in a group and you'd rather do the process on your own, so that we won't be putting people into groups with people who don't want to participate. So press 5 if you'd rather not, and we can tag you as a solo, and we won't be putting you into a small group. And then Ben will put the rest of us into groups of 3 as much as possible, or 4. And if you drop off, we'll tag you as to which group you're in, and we'll try to put you back. But many of you called in on the general number that we put into the email and announcement and did not register. And those of you who didn't register, a couple of you raised your hands earlier. We didn't call on you yet, and it's not that we wouldn't call on you. We don't have a policy not to, but we are giving preference to folks we can call on. So otherwise, we have to say, well, somebody, we don't know your name, you know, please start talking, and then all of you who might have raised your hand start talking at once. It's kind of awkward. So we're encouraging you to please register. It helps all of this work better. So you can do that at any time from any of the emails, and it'll help all this flow.
Also,
okay.
One small detail, Terry, that came up. We actually learned something on our call. I don't know if it was our last call or 2 calls ago, probably 2 calls ago. But basically, in terms of privacy, we would like your consent to actually just to be able to kind of check in and listen and hear how things are going and be able to draw some sense of what the energetics are like. And so we'd like to just invite your consent for us to do that. And if there is, if you have a preference that we don't, is there some way they can signal that, Terry, on the line, so we would know a particular group that might not want us to drop in?
Yeah, press 4 on your handset if you're going to be in a small group.
Yeah, press 4 if your preference is,
and you don't want us to listen in on you.
Yeah, so we're basically saying that if 1 out of 3 or 4 people prefers that we don't listen in, that that's the default, and we'll give you your privacy. Okay, thanks.
Ben, go ahead and put people into the groups, and I'll start to lay out the first part of this process. Let's begin by dropping in and taking a moment to look around the room, wherever you are. And as you look around, just letting your eyes be attracted to whatever around you might be attracting your gaze, consider, who is the looker? Who's doing the looking? Can you locate what is the looker? Look around a little more. What is it that's doing the looking? And then close your eyes for a moment as you breathe. Notice if the looker is still present, and you notice, locate that looker. Most people discover that you can't really put your hands on it. The looker just sort of is. let's just drop into the space of the experiencer, of being itself, the open intelligence that is the context of all our experience. And as we rest that, let's take a moment to notice that something arises in being even while you're resting as being. There are sensations, there is awareness, there are the residues of the feelings or reactions that you may have had while you were listening to the conversations that we've had up until now. So let that begin to surface, and now begin to give voice. You're in your small groups, so in just a moment we'll ring the bell and we'll give you a minute or so to introduce yourselves, say your names, but then resting as awareness, feeling into the field of awareness in this room with these two or three other people, begin to speak from awareness. Feel what that's like. So here, let's begin with the minute or so for introducing yourself, and we'll ring the bell in another minute. And then just go into a free-form popcorn style. Just speak when you're blind. And speak from awareness, noticing whatever you notice. But first, introduce yourself so you have a sense of who you're speaking with. Here you go. Okay, let's begin to allow the intelligence that is the character of this witnessing, this spaciousness in which all experience arises. Let's let some speech arise from there. Periods of silence are okay, but lean into actually speaking and listening, letting this space of awareness beckon forth something from as deep a level within yourself as you can. Okay, everybody. Welcome back. Now, having entered into the space as awareness and begun to enter into a space of trust, let's do another round, again, just popcorn style, and noticing the way that awareness can kind of touches and the kind of slightly softened, opened space in which you were meeting in this last round. Notice that if you presence your feeling experience in a way that's vulnerable and self-disclosing, it adds something to the quality of your connection to one another, and the quality of the we space can shift. So during this next period, again, we'll just speak spontaneously. We'll just do this for, you know, maybe 4 or 5 minutes. Let's notice what happens when you speak about what you're feeling in the moment, and let that be visible, and then respond to one another in a way that responds to those feelings, so that the first person who shares can begin your sharing, what I'm feeling right now is. And then following that, you can begin your sharing by saying, hearing that, I'm feeling. And let that bring you closer together in a way that's personal, but still alive to this witnessing container in which the whole thing arises. So please go ahead, and you'll have just 4 or 5 minutes like this. Hey, everybody, thank you. Well, from wandering around, I found myself really appreciating how many of you were stepping into the kind of awkward experiment of all this with good humor and with a great deal of creativity and authenticity. And even though it's much harder to do this without really knowing one another, encountering one another for the first time, strangers, just hearing voices, some beautiful things began to happen, and I hope that gave you a taste of what begins to become possible, especially when you're face-to-face with others in these kinds of experiments. Now, we did this kind of quickly and began in a way that might have felt a little abstract with awareness, but I hope that you began to get a feeling for some of the kinds of processes that are possible that we can deepen into a lot more in the time ahead. And having had that experience, maybe Jeff or Diane, do you have anything you'd like to say? And then I was thinking to invite people to raise their hands and perhaps to go back into a conversation with the whole group about this whole process, especially now that people have had a taste. Yeah, so go ahead and press 1 if you'd like to share something. Okay. A few hands coming up. Jeremy Page. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, hi. I'm hard on a phone. You know, you don't get any visual or tactile clues. There's a tendency to go right into the PC mode right away. You know, everything's safe and secure, and I feel, you know, I was really trying to kind of push it just a little bit. You kind of to bump into people somehow, and trying to figure out how to do that. That's kind of my addition here.
Okay, thank you, Jeremy. There are several people who dialed in on the general number who have raised your hands. So I invite you to go ahead and start speaking, and one of you will be, you'll be able to hear your voice coming back through your earpiece. So welcome. One of you is on the air. Please speak. Hello, you who raised your hand. We're on live. Okay, we'll try another one of you. You're live now.
Testing.
Yes, you're on. Testing.
This is Tabor in Oakland. Hello, Terry.
Hi, Tabor.
Well, first of all, this is just really exciting because I have been, I geeked out hard on Canon Integral a long time ago, and in the meantime have been deeply involved in what I was not calling We Space practice, but that's what it was. And it's so thrilling to reconnect with the Integral community and see how that is just blooming here. I'm just thrilled about tapping into this moving train. So thank you for that. And yeah, I am just so passionate about the potential for this, because I did a lot of meditation, lived in a Zen center, and all of that, and feel like bringing awareness, full awareness to intrapersonal experience has this quickening effect on the internal evolution, but that the combining our awarenesses with each other is not just additive, but multiplicative. It's like this exponential potential that's created, and I just noticed that I crave it. I am thrilled to connect with y'all because I just have a real craving to drop into the practice of presence with other people simultaneously. It's so satisfying, and I think it's really kind of rocket fuel for transformation. And it really does feel to me like the next wave for us.
Thank you, Tabor. Right on. Well, the experiment is rich and multifaceted, and there's a lot being weaved together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks so much. We have a number of other hands up. Apollo Grace. Hi.
Hello. What I was noticing as we completed, I said I didn't know that we were going to complete, so I'm just feeling a little bit of a lack of an opportunity to say goodbye to the two people that I connected to. So I get to do that right now because I'm on the line, but I wonder if that might be given as a general opportunity, if that's technically possible. And otherwise, I just wanted to acknowledge that feeling that there was a very close connection that was created between three very complete strangers. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, I just checked with Ben, and unfortunately it's not possible to get you back in the small groups. It looks like they got dissolved, so sorry. I would have liked to have been able to provide that too. We're improvising our way through this in a way that isn't quite possible. It's a little more complex for us to do in this Maestro conference form than it would be if we were together in person, but thanks for that, Apollo. Jeff and Di, are you kind of ready to lean in? There's another fellow with his hand up, Dudley. Do we want me to call on him first?
I'm still interested in people's experience.
Okay.
Yeah, me too.
Hi, Dudley.
Hi, Terry. Does this mean I'm registered or not registered? I'm not sure about that.
It means you are registered.
Okay, good. Something that came up for me in the earlier, when you were explaining earlier about the We Space, it struck me that perhaps in some way we're rediscovering or connecting with the way in which the Quakers meet. It seemed to me that from what I know of their meetings, not that I've been to one, but I've been to similar practices following that idea, where there is that space maintained and the connection to the we-ness of us all, and people speak very directly from their what's coming up in the moment. So as a group, that can be done. It has been done. So that struck a chord with me, connection there. And the other thing is that I had the experience.
I'm not sure I completely get what you're pointing to there. The Craigers?
Quakers.
The Quakers.
Quaker meetings. Yes.
That's how they meet, as I understand it, very much in that kind of we space.
That's the intention, yeah. I think that they ask four questions. Is this the time? Is this the space? Am I the one to speak it? And is it from God? And whatever meets all those criteria gets spoken. Kind of a beautiful set of injunctions.
Yeah. The other thing is that I work quite a lot with consensus decision making. And I think that this is very much part of that. To do that effectively, we need to be meeting in that we space consciousness where there is a real deep listening to what each one has to say, and that way it can be a very effective means of decision making. Whereas a lot of people have difficulty with it because they're not coming from that centering of who we are as a one group. Maintaining that solidarity is the priority. In addition to that, I had a very good experience with Sam where we're on other sides of the world and complete strangers, but we're able to make what I felt as a real personal connection and feeling of relating to that, because we were talking about feelings more than anything else. I think that made a big difference.
Beautiful. Thank you. That was really a helpful contribution. Thanks so much, Dudley.
Most welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Well, my friend from Australia, Di Shearer, is on the line. I haven't talked with you in a couple of years. Hello, Di.
Hello, Terry. And thank you. I don't know how I didn't hear about Integral Living Room before this morning, but there it was, and I had cancelled another event, so here I am. And because we hadn't had a woman check in, I thought I'd better.
Exactly so. Thank you.
I want to know, what is PC mode, please?
I think, politically correct. And by that, I think he meant that people were kind of going for the place of harmony, and he wanted to provoke something that might come from the frisson of difference and, you know, some challenge in the space.
My experience of the breakout group was, as I expressed it, I was still dropping down when responses were required. I wasn't easily accessing where I wanted to be. So I spoke from where I was, aware that there was yet more depth. And I think one other thing that came out of our group was to express irritation, for example, is equally as appropriate as to express warmth or cohesion. Yeah. So it's good to be back in live touch. I haven't been able to get across to America for the last two big events, but I have certainly followed it online and feel very lonely about that all.
Thanks so much, Di. Good to hear that from you. Well, we're getting close to the end of our time. We only have another 15 minutes. And I really want to hear your thoughts, Diane and Jeff, before we talk about how this relates to what we're anticipating when we get together in person, and how this is different from and similar to and connected to and different from what we've done in our other calls. So,
cool. Well,
yeah.
I'd pipe up if that's okay, Di.
Please.
Yeah, go for it, Jeff.
Yeah, that was great. And I am moved in this moment to suggest that we do one more small group. And that is where we allow a certain un-PC particularity to come out. And we talk about how these calls are inferior to being together live, and that's true because there's so much that is online when we're live. But there's something that's true of these calls that's not true of live, and that is we have a certain anonymity. And that's not a bad thing. And it's something we can actually work with on this call, and we can actually step back into our group, and let's talk about that irritation that Di just talked about, your friend Di, Terry. And from a position of, I actually say, let's do an assumed name. It's not even your name. I'm going to be Natasha, and even speak in an accent, and talk about what's annoying and irritating about this process, and about the integral community, and being integral or not being integral, or any of this, Ken Wilber, us, each other, yourself, the world. And just 1 minute each, no big deal. Somebody start, be courageous, and we'll check back in. Does that work, Terry, Ben?
Yeah, we will. Those of you who don't want to participate, please press 5 quickly so we can exclude you and get people into groups. Because it's no fun to be in a group with you if you won't participate. Now how that is.
Especially with this. Because, you know, it's a chance to actually step up and speak vividly. I mean, where we've been so far has been in terms of actual presence and warmth and depth and lovely. I eavesdropped a bit and it was lovely. But now this is a sort of manifesting particularity. Terry, can you sort of lead us into the actual machinations of this process? I'm forgetting how it works.
Yeah, sure. Okay, everybody. You've got your instructions. Go undercover and let it rip, and let's play with that kind of a wee space, which is a whole different thing. So in just a minute, Ben, please exclude the people who pressed 5 and create groups of 3 or 4, and we will ring bells at 1 minute intervals. There'll be 4 intervals, and you just take turns, and whoever barges in first, but he who hesitates loses seconds. And let's let it all rip. Go.
Yeehaw.
Okay, everybody. You've just finished that exercise. There was a lot of energy there. I was walking around the room, and it seemed like it opened things up. It's so interesting how these different injunctions create a very different experience among us. This was really great. Thanks, Jeff, for suggesting it. That was terrific.
Well, the group I was in, and I was eavesdropping in one group the whole time. I don't know how to change anything, so there I was. And they were kind of having nothing of it. They saw the injunction or the instructions as being, you know, evoking of ego and conflict and things other than harmony. And they were good. It was a great group, actually, and very thoughtful, and had a, actually ended up with a lot of we space, I thought. And it just made me realize how, of course, what we're talking about here is not expressing of the ego, but from a witness perspective, allowing the ego to arise as an art form in sort of a trans-egoic way, where you see it as an object, and sort of delight in it, and delight even in your shadow. You know, I think there's just a whole sort of methodology that wants to be born here that was being all kinds of inspired by this group about how to set this up better.
Exactly. But
so
you know what?
Actually,
you know what, Jeff? Many of the small groups loved this instruction and really
loved
all kinds of things that were very rich and that brought people together. I deepened the we space in a different way by people being free to let out their inner golem. And it was very fun. I think it added a whole dimension.
Let's fill out the dilemma a little bit. So we get good at creating a we space, and we feel supported and warm and like we belong, and then when we shift it and say, okay, now let's differentiate, let's let the particular come forward, and let's let the particular come forward in the form of an irritation, the danger, of course, to the we space is that the irritation I'm going to experience is going to be about you, Terry. Or the experience is going to be about you, Jeff, and then all of a sudden that sense of belonging and safety is suddenly interrupted. So,
yeah.
You know, if I'm irritated with the light, or I'm irritated with the temperature, or I'm irritated with something that happened earlier in the day, that's one thing. But if I'm actually irritated with you, then all of a sudden that whole sense of safety gets, you know,
whole
compromised.
Can of worms.
Whole can of worms, and then all of a sudden we've compromised our peace and our belonging and all those good things. But the question starts to become, you know, we don't want to do what the earlier caller was talking about in terms of now we're being authentic and what we're really doing is trashing each other. So it's precisely in that zone where we get let the particularity come forward, more of our authenticity in the particular we're experiencing with each other, and yet still retain or be able to access that sense of a belonging. And it's only when you can start to develop both that you have true freedom in a group. You know, when a group starts to develop to where it can be really deep in kind of oneness, and it can be really enlivened by differentiation and even by challenges to each other with the trust that we can navigate that territory, then that's when freedom really starts to set in. So
yeah.
That's what we're going to be experimenting with. Yeah, we'll be experimenting with that at the Integral Living Room, and we'll be talking about how to move from kind of meditative awareness into particularity, how to gauge emotional temperature, how to work with conflict to some degree. And, you know, so this is just a little bit of a taste of changing that, the kind of texture or the sensibility of a group, and that's part of what we're going to be working with when Ken joins us on October 31st in Boulder. I really look forward to seeing those of you on the call who are there, and Terry and Jeff, it's always a pleasure to work with you guys. So,
yeah, thank
yes.
you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you,
so,
Terry.
Yeah.
Thank you, Di. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, guys, and thank you, everybody. Let's open up the mics. We'll all say goodbye here for a moment before we finish up. So please raise your voice. It'll be chaotic, but it'll be fun.
Green
goodbye,
time.
Everybody.
I'm Bill Cato. There's nobody in my group except me.
Bye.
Everybody else, I love you.